Well, we conclude today this six-week emphasis on John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've lingered with this for 6 weeks because the reality of our lives is contained in 3:16. The heart of God resides in 3:16. The problem of the human is the problem with our hearts, and God's solution is revealed in John 3:16. The protection from eternal separation from God is contained in 3:16. John 3:16, probably the most famous Bible verse of all time, and because of that, it's somewhat familiar to us. My sister-in-law, the same one that tricked me with the white delight, with the dessert that I thought was whipped cream and it turned out to be mayonnaise. Oh. That same sister-in-law is known for responding to just about every situation with one word. And that one word is whatever. In fact, that's the way that she responded when I spit her salad out. Whatever. You know, the rent's due and we don't have enough money. Whatever. The kids are outside and they're playing in the street. Whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, things that would normally get a rise out of a normal human being gets a whatever from her, which is sometimes frustrating and other times is refreshing. The danger that we face in hearing, once again, the affirming words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, is that we respond with whatever. And is that the anticipated response that God would have from us that he orchestrated in this 26-word parade of hope? Do you think that that's the response that he would like for us? That whatever. No. Because he places one word in the midst of this verse that is a cause for enormous rejoicing, that we cannot respond with whatever. It's a word that when we hear it, we smile. That when we hear it, it makes it all relevant to my life. It takes the powerful truth of John 3:16, and there is a bridge built into my life, and I smile when I hear it. It is something that gives me great joy because of who it includes. And it also is one of the most perplexing words in John 3:16 because of who it includes. The word is whoever. Whoever. Whoever is the invitation of the world for you and for me into the graceful arms of a God who made us and loves us. The word is inclusive, is it not? It transcends race, it transcends sex, it transcends background, it transcends all of the divides that we set up in our culture. It's merely whoever. The Jews, what they wanted to do in the Old Testament was to restrict the whoever. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they came into contact with Jesus, wanted to restrict the whoever, and Jesus wouldn't allow it. He was fond of redundantly driving home whoever. Look at these Bible verses. Words from Jesus. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Whoever, whoever, whoever. Do you know what? You're a whoever. You are whoever. That's the good news. But there's also shocking news with this word that God places in the midst of this, that Jesus, that falls from Jesus' lips, whoever, there is a shocking truth. And it is this, when we start to look at, what does this whoever mean? Well, here's what it means. First of all, whoever means however. Of all the messages that you can get in the Bible, please don't miss this one. God takes you however he finds you. That is the truth. That whoever means that however God finds you, he loves you. The best way that I have ever heard it, and it's stuck in my mind, it's become a part of who I am, is the truth that God loves you just the way that you are. And he loves you too much to leave you that way. But God loves you just the way that you are. God loves you however he finds you. There isn't a need to clean up before you're worthy to come to him. There isn't a need to be perfect before receiving his love. He loves you with your confusion. He loves you with your messed up life. He loves you with your stained thought life. He loves you with your hidden secrets. Whoever means however he finds you. We saw it last week in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, verses 19 to 21. There are two men that lived on the opposite sides of the track. By all accounts, the one to be envied would be the upstanding, influential, wealthy rich man. A man who, in all probability, did many benevolent things during his life. He had the resources to be able to do it. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, which meant that he had the bucks. And he lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs even came and licked his sores. Two men, one rich, one not. One who probably contributed greatly to society. He was revered. On the other hand, you got Lazarus, who was a beggar. He hadn't made much of his life. He relied on the pity of those around him. He wasn't much to look at. It says that the dogs even licked his sores. That's not a pretty picture. He probably smelled. One was a winner and one was a loser. Only in God's eternal economy, the winner is Lazarus. The loser is the rich man. You see, Lazarus cashes in on the whoever clause of 3:16. Now, this is good news because it means that whoever means however he finds you, then it means that however he finds me, he loves me. Do you get that? However he finds me, he loves me. Now, the problem we have isn't with our own inclusion. Our problem is that my problem is that he loves you. And he loves you however he finds you. You see, we are mercy midgets. We truly are. We are just like Peter when he went to Jesus and he said, Lord, now I need to get something straight here. How many times do I have to forgive? I want to get it down. How many times do I have to forgive? How about seven? I think seven's more than gracious. What's the boundary of forgiveness so that when somebody steps over it, we can stop forgiving? Because, you know, I've got some people in my life that are dangerously close. How many times do I have to forgive them, Lord, so that I can be okay? Tell me, how many of us have not been in that position? Pushed to the edge. That's why the response of Jesus is so radical. He says 70 times 7. In other words, you forgive until I stop forgiving you. God has no limit. His grace is limitless, and it isn't dependent on the size of the sin either. We often excuse ourselves by rationalizing that our sin isn't all that bad, especially when you compare it to others. Like the girl who wrote to her parents. She was away at college, and she wrote this. Her parents got this letter. Dear Mom and Dad, I thought I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He quit high school after the 11th grade to get married. He's been divorced now for about a year. Jim and I have been going steady for 2 weeks, and we plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. And by the way, I think I might be pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school last week, although I'd really like to finish college at some time in the future. And then they turned the page, and it says, "Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written so far in this letter is false. Not a word of it is true. But what is true is that I got a C minus in French and I flunked math. I just wanted to put everything in proper perspective." That's good, isn't it? I like that. Well, the Bible says we need to put things into a proper perspective. The truth is, there is no sin too big that God can't forgive, and there is no sin too small that God will ignore. We are all in need of forgiveness, and the offer is for whoever. The dad who neglects his kids, whoever. The spouse who has spent his life devoted to work and not to his family, whoever. The embezzler, whoever. The liar, whoever. The thief, whoever. The stripper, whoever. The addict, whoever. Whoever means however he finds you, he loves you. And that's not all. Because whoever also means whenever. It doesn't matter whether you receive the gift of grace as a child or with your dying breath, the reward, the end result, is the same. You know, we're in a recession right now, we're told. We're told that every day, that the economy is struggling. And one of the things that we know about business, even though we may not be in business, is that one of the key elements to managing a business is to manage the payroll. If you're going to make any money in the marketplace, you got to ride herd on that thing called payroll. And this type of thing isn't all that recent because it is thousands of years old. In fact, Jesus one day began to tell a story to some of his listeners about labor costs, about a landowner who needed some workers. A vineyard owner, he needed laborers to work. And so he went to the town square, to the unemployment pool, so that all the people would be gathered there in the morning, hoping and praying for a day's work so that they could get some money to feed their family. And the vineyard owner, he goes to the pool, and he looks over the crew and says, "I need three workers. I need three workers to work for me for the day." And he got volunteers, and indeed he chose three, and then he kind of gathered them together, and he says to them, "What would you like to earn for a day's work?" And the going rate was a denarius, which was about $20 a day, and so they told him that. The vineyard owner, he agreed, he thought that was fair, and said, "Come on, let's get to work." And so they went to work very happy at 6 o'clock in the morning. And apparently the vineyard owner, he had some errands to run in town, and so reading between the lines just a bit, what transpired was that at 9 o'clock in the morning, he passes by the unemployment pool again, and there are still people there, and so he wants to help them, and so he hires three more to come and work for him for the day. The same thing happens at noon, a repeat performance at 3 o'clock. And then we read that the owner passed by at 5 o'clock p.m., which was 1 hour before the end of the day, and he hired a few dejected but persistent workers to work for him. They worked for that hour, and at the end of the day, all of these workers that had been hired during the course of the day lined up to be paid, which was the tradition, you pay at the end of the day. And so he pays those who worked the 1 hour first, and he paid them a full day's wage. And those who started at 3 o'clock, he gave them a full day's wage. Those that came in at noon, a full day's wage. Those that came at 9, a full day's wage. And then lastly was the ones that he hired the first, and they started at 6 o'clock, he gave them the full day's wage. Now, as you might expect, those who worked the full day were furious. And the logic doesn't make sense to us either, does it? But it does in God's economy. The workers weren't upset with their pay. They had received exactly what they were expecting to receive, exactly what the landowner had promised them, a full day's wage. What they were upset with was those that got paid the same amount who started at 5 o'clock. They weren't upset with what they got. They were upset that those guys got something that, at least in their mind, they didn't deserve. They were shocked to receive the same amount as those that started at 5 o'clock. They were angry at the extent of God's grace, and that's Jesus' point exactly. Whoever means whenever. A last-minute confession of faith receives the same grace as a lifetime servant. You see, because whoever means whenever. Now, let's think for a moment. When you combine the fact that whoever means however he finds you, and that whoever means whenever you receive that grace, there's a disturbing element in the midst of this wonderful verse, is there not? Last Wednesday, in our small group, asked the question that when you think of the phrase, hell is real and real people go there, is there anyone that comes to mind when you hear that phrase? And the response came, child molesters. Specifically, Joseph Duncan. And we all can agree, can we not? What more heinous act is there than violating a child, marring that child for the rest of their life? Here's the question. Does whoever apply to Joseph Duncan? His however is severe, but is it any less plausible to a perfect God than my sin? Let's say Joseph Duncan finds Jesus in his final hours. Does God's whenever apply to him? You see, we find it easy to swallow that God loves Billy Graham. It's within the realm of plausibility for God to love me. I'll even go with the fact that God loves you. But Joseph Duncan? I don't know if you remember, but Ted Bundy, right before he was executed, confessed Christ before he died. He was interviewed on death row by James Dobson. And I've heard, I don't know it to be a fact, that Jeffrey Dahmer gave his life to Christ before he died. Now, the shock of 3:16 is that it is possible that Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy will be running around in heaven with us, purified, whole, sanctified, which points to the fact that God's ways are not our ways. Is that true? And his reach of love extends far beyond ours. Whoever means however he finds you, and whoever means whenever you receive him. The benefit is the same. But that's not all. It's not only that however, that whoever means however, and it isn't only that whoever means whenever, but whoever means also wherever. The prodigal son in Luke 15 demonstrates the truth that no matter where you are, you're not far from home. We're told in Luke 15 that the prodigal son had journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions in wild living. He had wandered far away from home, and yet the father had a place set at the table. He had wandered far away from home, yet the father stood waiting and longing for him to come home. The son ran out of cash. He was faced with a meaningless job. He wanted to go home. His life was in a shambles. He rehearsed the speech to say, I'm sorry, to his father. And what he found was that the father didn't even give him the opportunity to deliver the speech. The father welcomed him home. Why? Because whoever means wherever you are not far from God. If God seems far away, guess who's moved? The fact of the matter is, whoever is so inclusive that it means that however he finds you, he loves you. It means that whenever you receive, whenever you believe, in the words of John 3:16, the eternal reward is the same. And wherever you are, in life, you are not far from home, and your Father longs for you to come home. That's the inclusiveness of whoever. You know, yesterday at the men's breakfast, Don Pratt asked the question, how have you seen Jesus work in your life? And there was a little bit of conversation, and then he honed in on me. And I had kind of piggybacked on someone else's answer, and so I just kind of sloughed it off. And it was partly out of laziness, and it was partly out of the fact that every group I go to, spiritual group, I'm doing a lot of talking, and I wanted a break, so I was lazy. But afterwards, I thought, you know, I could have spent a whole day. Maybe that's why I didn't say anything, because I could spend a whole day talking about how I've experienced Jesus working in my life. I mean, going back to when I got saved, and then I mean, I could just walk you through my whole life and give testimony to the miracles that God has worked in my life. And then also to see the way that Jesus has worked in other people's lives, to change lives, to transform lives. The Lelands were talking a few weeks ago about taking their son to the bus station for him to go back to college. And it brought to mind the days when I went to the bus station to either send the boys off to Seattle or receive them home. And there was one occasion that immediately came to my mind. It was 11:40 p.m. And I was patiently waiting the arrival of my sons on a bus that was supposed to come in at 11:45. And I don't know if you've hung out in a bus station. It's an interesting place. Interesting collection of people. And I am sitting there, and I'm people watching. I'm noticing that everybody seems to be dressed in sweatpants. That seems to be the dress of choice. And I'm pondering that deep thought that everybody seems to be wearing sweatpants when an older woman breaks me out of my contemplation with, are you Doug Wagner? And I'm obviously startled and say, yes, I am. She said, would you come over here and talk to me and my son for a few moments? And so I follow her over to her seat, all the while wondering how she knew my name and who she was. She did not look familiar to me at all. And so I'm just racking my brain. She began to tell me how they had arrived on a bus from Fairbanks, Alaska, and the bus was delayed in Wenatchee for a few hours. And because of that, they had missed their connecting bus in Spokane, and she was stranded in Spokane for the night, and she wondered if I would give her money to stay in a motel for the night. And I can't stand it anymore. How did you know my name? I was going to just try and understand what the situation was. I was going nuts trying to imagine who this woman was and how we all of a sudden were connected. And she told me that she had called churches and got my church and got the answering machine, and so she called my home, and my wife said that I would be here in a short while. I don't know if you've gone to the yellow pages with churches, but there's a few. We continued to talk as my mind raced with an attempt to try and put all this in perspective. She told me about her situation, that they lived in Fairbanks and her son lost his job because he hurt his leg, and they're on their way to Florida to live with her sister, and they would really appreciate it if I would give them money for a room. All the while, I'm trying to figure out how this was possible. I told her that I'd be glad to give her a night's stay in a motel. And she thanked me, and we continued to talk. And by the time I had sat down between them, we're just kind of becoming friends. And I'm talking to them, and they're talking to me, telling me what their situation is. She told me that her husband died 15 years ago when some guy put a gun to his head and made him fly a plane, and the plane ultimately crashed. She's on Social Security. I continued to ask questions about her life, and the more that she told me, she was laying tragedy over heartache, over problems. It was awful. This woman was 62 years old and looked to be 15, 20 years older. She was a broken woman, and as she talked, I was still overcome with the coincidence of her calling my house when I would be at the terminal a short time later. Does that seem strange to anybody but me? I interrupted her. I said, do you realize what a coincidence it is that you called my house and found out that I was going to be coming to the place where you had need? What is that about? And she smiled and said, I don't know. And I said, this is more than coincidence. This is a God moment. And I asked her, I said, where is God in your life? And she said, I guess with all the pain that I've had in my life, that God doesn't care for me much, which was a perfect opening for me to be able to share with her that God loves you. Do you know that? That God loves you and you matter to him. It may not seem like it. It may not seem like you matter to anybody else in the world, but I'm here to tell you that you matter to God, and he grieves over your pain. He weeps over your difficulties, and he wants you to experience that love. Would you like to receive him, Norma? And she looked seriously off into the distance, and I could almost predict that there was a no that was going to come out of her mouth. And instead she said, how did you get saved? Oh, I'd love to share that with you. And I began to share with her about how God worked in my life and revealed himself to me, and how when I received him that it filled a void in my life. And I said, oh, Norma, here's the deal. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks, and if you open that door, he will come in and live with you. Would you like to open that door, Norma? And again, there was silence. And I was beginning to think that she was feeling pressured, and I didn't want that. And so I broke in before she could answer, and I said, you know, I'm not wanting to force you. If you don't sense this is the time, then you can receive him later when you do feel it's the time. The only thing is that right now, I'm here to help you if you'd like. And Norma, would you like to receive Jesus? Would you like to have your life changed? Would you like to receive Jesus? And she said, yes, I would. But I don't know how. I said, I'd love to help you. And so there, in the bus station, at about midnight, with my sons over in the distance, sensing there was something important going on, Norma and her son prayed to receive Jesus, opened their heart. There was a massive party in heaven going on because of what transpired in that bus station. Norma and her son embraced eternity. Norma represents the truth that whoever means however he finds you, that whoever means whenever you receive, and whoever means wherever, even in a bus station. Whoever means however he finds you. Whoever means whenever you come to him. And it means wherever you are. And that's true for you too. And for everyone that we look in the eye, they are a whoever. Amen? They are a whoever. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this 26-word parade of hope. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the richness that comes out of the truth that's contained in John 3:16. For you so loved us that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever, not just the elite, not just those that are respectable, not those that seem successful by worldly standards, but whoever believes in you won't perish but have eternal life. Lord, thank you for your grace. It's so ununderstandable. Thank you for your grace. Lord, may we absorb that to such a degree that we become grace conveyors, that it naturally just seeps from our pores, that the grace that you have given to us, that we are ready and able and empowered to be able to offer to others. Amen.